we don't want to encourage piracy.
What they should go after is the pirates, I guess.
As I say it, don't get mad if they play it. Turn the radio if you don't like it.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
Come on now, let me feel it now.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
I am a pirate. I should be arrested, jailed, or fined.
Oh, hey, it's Sunday, April 30th, 2006.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
Hey everybody, this is the Pirates Week, a podcast serving the shortwave pirate radio community. We take a look into the past week's pirate activity, what's going on over at the Free Radio Network, an odd tech tip or two, general free radio and DXing news, the propagation forecast, throw in a little pod safe music, and well, we call it the Pirates Week. How's everybody doing this week, huh? Things are slowing down a bit here around the Pirates Week. We came off of Winterfest a couple months ago and went right into the Dave Rabbit Radio First Termer interviews. And now that's wrapped up last week. If you missed it last week, go back and take a listen to the last two podcasts. Some really good stuff there. And we're finding ourselves plopped straight into the summer DXing season with the season of the static crash, if you will. But a whole lot of pirate activity. My God, listening the last 3 or 4 days is just one after another on multiple frequencies. And some really, really good listening. In fact, I'm running the Gulch, the online resource, the Gulch. I'm not even running reruns of old programs. I'm just leaving the radio on and hooked up 24/7. And you can access the Gulch off of the homepage of shortwavepirate.info and go over to the Gulch. And I'm just leaving it running right now. I think it's on 6925 upper sideband. I think that's the default setting, but I switch it around, especially when I'm actively listening. And talking about new things going on the website, I threw a poll on the Pirates Week homepage, that's www.piratesweek.info. Go over there and do it. You can only do it once. The question is, what is your least favorite part of the show, of the Pirates Week? And it's got 5 or 6 options there. Choose one and vote, please. I'm trying to don't have a lot of feedback from a lot of different listeners, and I'm looking to always improve the show. So I'm looking for what's your least favorite part, and maybe you can influence the show a bit and make it better for everybody. I also want to mention This Week in Amateur Radio. We have quite a few stories this week we're taking from the audio from their podcast in This Week in Amateur Radio, and we typically do every week, and also Glenn Hauser's World of Radio and some other sources, but we rely heavily on This Week in Amateur Radio at the Pirates Week podcast. And taking a look at their logs, they have really stated it well, and I've seen it before, but now they're really coming out, at least I've noticed they're coming out and saying it more forthright, that they have a Creative Commons license of attribution and non-commercial share-alike license. And that's really nice. That's what the Pirates Week podcast is. We're non-commercial and you can share alike. And we always try to attribute all the news sources we use, or I use, here at the Pirates Week podcast. And the Pirates Week podcast, if you're inclined to know, is also Creative Commons license of share alike and attribution. I don't care if you're commercial or not. Go ahead. Just if you want to use anything from the podcast, from this podcast, just be sure to cite me and make sure that you also share your material. But This Week in Amateur Radio, I'd really like to thank. They do put it out there as attribution, non-commercial, and a share alike license. And I really like to thank them for that. What else was I going to say? Oh, yes. Happy birthday, Pat Murphy. I caught WBNY's 3-minute broadcast yesterday. I think he ran it actually 2 or 3 times. WBNY is saying happy birthday to Pat Murphy. That was yesterday, the 29th. And I also got a slow scan TV image of Pat sitting there in all his glory. I'm not sure what he has in his left paw or foot, but looks like he's happy. But so happy birthday, Pat, and thank you for all the wonderful work you do at the FRN. You have the patience of Solomon. So, hey, happy birthday, Pat. So, without much further ado, let's get into Pirates in the News. Well, we have 2 Pirate news stories this week for you. The first one I came across, actually it was emailed to me from Cracker. This is from the Palm Beach Post. Police shut down a pirated Haitian radio station. Yes, again, another FM pirate in Florida. This is from the Palm Beach Post. Fito Thelat broadcasted news and music to the city's Haitian population last Friday. That was 3 days ago. Authorities went to his studio in the back corner of a tailor shop and confiscated his transmitter, microphones, and mixing board, shutting down 96.1 FM. Kind of looked around a little bit. I did not see any other name for his station. They're just calling it 96.1 FM. The Lot's pirate station, which played Creole and Caribbean music, was reportedly interfering with radio station WILD 95.5 and the public radio station WXEL 90.7 FM. This is according to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. This is reportedly the first station in Palm Beach County that the Florida Department of Law Enforcement has shut down. The Lot could face criminal charges of operating an unlicensed radio station. It is a third-degree misdemeanor to operate a pirate radio station without an FCC license in Florida. Jerry Carr, WXEL's president and CEO, said he reported the pirate station to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement last week after receiving an email about the signal interference from a listener. Flott said that he filed paperwork with the FCC twice in the past year trying to get permission to operate the station. Despite not hearing from the federal agency, he began broadcasting. This is not the first pirate radio station Thelat has operated. In 2003, he ran 106.9 FM, which broadcasted in Boynton Beach, Delray Beach, and Latana. Thelat said the FCC gave him permission to broadcast and he was awaiting the official paperwork. FCC officials could not verify that Thelat had a license. The FCC has shut down more than 400 pirate stations in Florida since 1997. South Florida is believed to have more than any other region in the country. So yes, once again, another FM pirate shutdown in Florida as Florida continues to wage its war against free media and its citizens. The second news story we have this week comes from John Anderson's website, DIY Media. It seems the FCC paid a visit to Power 103.3 in Bettendorf, Iowa last week. 2 representatives of the station informed the FCC that they were operating under authority of 47 CFR 73.3542, which allows the emergency authorization of broadcasts in times of war or national emergency. This Week in Amateur Radio also covered this story, so let's take a listen to the news story from This Week in Amateur Radio.
Jason Duncan, age 26, of Bettendorf, is the program director and disc jockey of Pirate Quad Cities radio station, Power Hits 103.3 FM. The station operated under a federal regulation the operators say allows them to broadcast during wartime without a license. The station began broadcasting April 7th. Power Hits 103.3 FM will stay on the air for as long as possible, said station founder Jason Duncan, age 26, of Bettendorf. The station's been broadcasting current pop hits and 80s and 90s music since April 7th. On Wednesday, he introduced himself to listeners and explained why the station was broadcasting without federal approval from the Federal Communications Commission. Mr. Duncan said he believes in the freedom of speech and First Amendment rights and the power of the little guy to buck corporate dominance of the airwaves. Two major communications companies, Clear Channel and Cumulus, own the Quad Cities' 11 radio stations. Larry Rasmilso of Clear Channel said it's almost unheard of to have a renegade station broadcasting in a market as small as the Quad Cities. Typically, such stations would broadcast in larger metropolitan areas where it is more difficult for federal regulators to locate and shut down the broadcast studio. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. They're a little station and won't hurt us, but it's against the law, he said. We have to play by the rules and pay licensing fees and get approvals and all the other things that the government requires. If we have to, so should they. Jack Swart of Cumulus said the upstart station was more of an annoyance than anything, and an engineer working for his station had notified the FCC of the renegade station. The FCC says there is no available broadcast space in the Quad Cities region, Mr. Duncan said. The group found the opening at 103.3 while searching the FM dial. After researching broadcast regulations, they believe they found an opening under the FCC's Code of Federal Regulations, Title 47, Section 3542, Application for Emergency Authorization. The regulation grants an emergency broadcast on a temporary basis, in extraordinary circumstances, under such situations as emergencies involving danger to life and property, a national emergency proclaimed by the President of the United States, and a continuance of war where such action is necessary for the national defense or security. A representative from the Federal Communications Commission paid a visit to the pirate radio DJs, Jason Duncan and Matthew Britcher of Power 103.3, this week. He asked to see the studio, but once we found he didn't have a warrant, we said no, Mr. Duncan said. They presented the FCC representative with a copy of the FCC's Code of Federal Regulations, Title 47, Section 3542, Application for Emergency Authorization. He said he'd never heard of it before, and that he'd let their attorneys look at it, but he basically said it wasn't going to matter much to them, Mr. Duncan said. Mr. Duncan and Mr. Britcher then were given a notice of unlicensed radio operation with the following reasons checked on the list. Refusal to allow inspection of radio equipment, a lack of evidence of proper FCC radio station license, field measurements of Power 103.3's transmitter exceed the allowable limits for operating without a license. Mr. Duncan said the FCC representative showed up at about 2 p.m. and stayed for 45 minutes. Mr. Duncan was prepared for the visit and captured it all on videotape. Mr. Duncan and Mr. Britcher hope to file a motion in federal court and are hoping to be granted an injunction on the basis of their First and Fourth Amendment rights. A motion guaranteeing the FCC cannot meet with a judge in a private court session without Mr. Duncan or Mr. Britcher also has been filed. Mr. Duncan estimates this no-seizure order could buy them up to 5 or 10 years on the air. If that doesn't work, we will probably move the station to buy more time, he added. Then they have to start all over and come inspect the property and serve us another notice. We have backup plans. Mr. Duncan said it is unlikely either he or Mr. Britcher will serve any jail time, though the maximum penalty for operating a radio station without a license is a $10,000 fine and up to 1 year in jail.
Well, with that, let's take a look what's going on over at the Free Radio Network. That's, of course, at www.frn.net/vines. Starting off with the Grapevine Pirate Shortwave, Andrew Yoder posted an excerpt of a posting from Alpha Lima's website. It seems that a Spanish pirate DXer will be on a de-expedition to Japan and will be listening. Doctor Who asks if he took a 6.950 megahertz crystal and switched it, the transmitter to 20 meters, does it send out on a frequency of 13.9? JTA says yes, the crystal frequency will be doubled. And 807B posted a link to download the PDF version of the 1959 radio handbook. Hey, that's something everybody should go and do before it goes away, the 1959 radio handbook. Nice to have. Pat Murphy has several postings of late. I will condense all of them down to this. He has blocked many IP addresses to combat spammers, troublemakers, psycho bitches, and maniacs. If you can't sign on, don't get your panties in a bunch, just email him. He reports that 80% of the new memberships since January 1 have been problem. And don't get mad when people reply to your posts and tell you things you don't want to hear, but you should know anyway. In a nutshell, don't be an ass. Hey, Pat can't take much more. Sea Lord posts a reply back on his old thread about grounding, Hey, this is a great read. It seems that he has completely isolated his local QRM problem with an ingenious setup including buried coax, ground rods, and a ground coupler. Hey, nice going. I'd like to see some pics of that posted. And Shortwave Pirate posted a nice off-topic thread on reminiscing on your first shortwave radio. Over in the workshop forum, QRP posted a link to a nice crystal-controlled low-power AM transmitter. And over in the BPL section, Al Fanson posted a news story that a California agency has okayed a broadband over power lines test. As always, I have no affiliation with the FRN other than just a regular reader. From the electronic newsletter, the Free Radio Weekly, is the recent shortwave pirate radio stations heard. This is from the FRW dated April 28, 2006. KZUT, Pirate Radio Boston, Radio First Termer Iraq, Radio Free Euphoria, Take It Easy Radio, The Crystal Ship, WBNY, WEAB, WBED, WMJR, WMPR, MAC, Undercover Radio, Voice of the Lutefisk, and Voice of the Runaway Maharishi. QSL's received this week is from KZUT, and that, of course, is as reported on the Free Radio Weekly.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law.
I heard you coming on a pirate transmission, coming in through my head, station to station. You're coming in waves, stuttering and broken, and talking about revolution.
Hi everybody, I'm the Pirate DXer. Well, I made a couple of mistakes this week and I lost a bunch of my recordings. Yes, when it says, are you sure you want to delete, make sure you're sure, boys and girls. Okay, anyway, I do have two recordings for you this week that did survive my little mishap. I have WNKR, April 28th, 6925 kilohertz at 0058 UTC.
This is WNKR. Certainly is. How you doing out there? 3095, here we go. Now, we're at the end of the safety net. And he wants the show.
And my second recording, I have Undercover Radio doing a 20th anniversary show. Heard April 30th, 6925 in the upper mode at 1406 UTC.
You know, it's kind of funny listening to the old PMR tapes. Back then I had an old cassette deck that I'd modified so I could vary the tape speed up and down. And listening back to the old tapes, it's amazing anybody could even hear what I was saying. Half the time I had the speed so high that I can't even figure out what I was saying. I'm not sure what I was thinking.
I just received an email for an upcoming broadcast for a new station called Mute Radio. Mute Radio. Apparently it'd be May the 6th and 7th, 6925, probably in the upper mode, maybe in the AM mode. And that'll be like Saturday and Sunday morning UTC here in North America. So give a listen for a new station. I was asked if I could record it and email them back the recording via usendit.com. So let's hope the propagation is good for this new station, and we'll hopefully air it next week. Well, for the Pirates Week, I'm the Pirate DXer. I'll say 73. Bye-bye, everybody.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. Piratesweek.info. That's piratesweek.info.
Is anyone around here still have a radio?
Well, because the Pirate DXer's segment was so short, seeing how he lost a bunch of his audio files, I thought I would include a couple of my off-air recordings also. The first one up is from last Sunday, WBED, That's Radio for a Brand New World, 6925 Upper Sideband, the 23rd, around 2111 to 2121. This is closer towards the end of the show. Music and clips from President Clinton had an SIO of about 333. This recording is a little bit loud. It's my fault. I had a little bit too much input going into the recorder, but let's take a listen to WBED. The second recording we have is also from last Sunday. This is Radio First Termer, Iraq, 6925 Upper Sideband, the 23rd, around 2258. This is at the very beginning on Sinon. This is a SIO of 433. I was still tuning it in at the very first of the program being on upper sideband. You'll hear it kind of click in about halfway through when I really got a good frequency lock on it. Let's take a listen to it.
The following program is in living color and has been rated X by the Iraq Academy of Maggots and Lifers. This is Radio First Termer, operating on Dave Rabbit's own frequency of 69 megacycles on your FM dial. The purpose of this program is to bring vital news, information, and hard acid rock music to the first termers and non-reenlistees in the Republic of Iraq. Radio First Termer operates under no military regulations or manual. In the event of a bi-squad raid, this program will automatically self-destruct. So fasten your seatbelts, bring your seats and tray tables into their fully upright position. Then bend over and kiss your ass goodbye, because tonight's show is going to be a bumpy ride. And now, live from the newly dedicated Saddam Hussein, they won't find me here, rat hole, in beautiful downtown Baghdad, right next door to the Osama bin Laden public trappers. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Jay Rabbit.
Well, let's take a look at some other stories in DXing and radio news. From World of Radio comes the report that the World Utility News Club is no more. That's right. I was brought to the WUN Club by Chris Siminski a year or so ago, and I've popped in and out of there over time. But the WUN is no longer. Let's take a listen to World of Radio from Glenn Hauser.
In mid-April, surprising news came that the World Utility News Club was closing down after over 11 years of existence. This is the number one resource for information about non-broadcast stations on the radio spectrum. However, it was soon replaced by a Yahoo group. Hundreds of members migrated there, it seems, rapidly, and it's open to anyone who's interested. It's now called the Utility DX Forum. groups.yahoo.com/group/UDXF.
Well, we ran out of time last week, but I did want to bring you this news story from This Week in Amateur Radio from last week about dithering power supplies and how it may be screwing up a frequency near you. Let's listen to This Week in Amateur Radio.
It is well known that switching type power supplies can generate some nasty RFI spurs, particularly in the AM broadcast band. According to the CGC Communicator, current power supply designers are turning towards dithering the power supply switching frequency, courtesy of a built-in random number generator to move the interference around. Dithering is really a buzzword standing for intentional frequency shifting. With this approach, instead of having a lot of interference on one frequency, the RFI will be thinned out and spread across a swath of the RF spectrum. This means gear using dithered power supplies could, conceivably, wind up bothering a frequency near you.
And finally, President Bush has renominated Kevin Martin for a second term as Commissioner and Chairman of the FCC. Another news story from This Week in Amateur Radio.
President George W. Bush has tapped FCC Chairman Kevin J. Martin of North Carolina for a second five-year term on the commission starting July 1st. The White House this week submitted Martin's name to the U.S. Senate for confirmation. Martin says he's honored to be nominated for a second term as a commissioner and as FCC chairman. "This is an exciting time of growth and innovation in the communications sector," Martin said in a statement. "I look forward to working with the administration, Congress, my fellow commissioners, and the talented staff at the FCC to provide all Americans with the services and opportunities offered by the best communication system in the world today." Judging by their statements, his fellow FCC colleagues have confidence in his leadership. Martin succeeded Michael Dow as FCC chairman in 2005.
Well, it's time now to take a look at the propagation forecast. Let's do it this week from, yet again, This Week in Amateur Radio. Told you I use a lot of their stuff. Let's do the prop forecast.
Taking a look at this week's propagation forecast, we find that geomagnetic conditions were quiet this week in most places, but on April 22nd, there was a geomagnetic storm at high latitudes caused by a solar wind and a south-pointing magnetic field. The College A index in Fairbanks, Alaska reached 38, and the K index was 7 at its highest. The mid-latitude A index for the day was only 10, just slightly unsettled. On April 27th, there was a strong but brief solar flare from sunspot 875, but this is not expected to cause any major geomagnetic activity. At the time of the flare, around 1552 Zulu, X-rays caused a short radio blackout of nearly a quarter hour. Sunspot numbers and solar flux have been rising recently, and solar flux is expected to remain around 100 over the next week. Geomagnetic conditions may become active again around May 2nd and May 6th, with a big increase in activity around May 10th and 13th, expected because of similar activity during the previous solar rotation.
Well, I started off the podcast today noting that This Week in Amateur Radio was being a little bit more explicit with their Creative Commons license and noting that they were share alike and mostly that they were non-commercial, meaning that commercial stations could not use their material. Well, I'm here to say and happy to announce that we do have a sponsor now for the Pirates Week. And though we're not getting very much money from it, so we're still technically, you know, in the red, so to speak. So I think we're still okay to use This Week in Amateur Radio, seeing how, you know, I don't consider myself commercial, but I did want to bring this advertisement to you from our new sponsor.
Attention DXers, stay tuned for a special announcement. Have you lost a girlfriend or wife over your hobby? Upset that she left you because that diamond ring at Walmart had to be put on layaway, but you still managed to afford a Watkins Johnson HF1000 for the shack? Or did she bolt when your planned lovemaking night was postponed due to excellent ionospheric conditions? Maybe it was your insistence to put that framed photo of Captain Ron on the nightstand? Does any of this sound familiar? Well, meet Susie Koozie, the inflatable DXer's love doll. Constructed of the finest vinyl and modeled after Tasha Femkins, Susie Koozie is fully washable and comes with three usable orifices for maximum pleasure. Susie Koozie also comes equipped with a voice chip so she can say exactly what DXers want to hear, such as, "You're hotter than Glenn Hauser," and "Your wiener is twice the size of Allen's." For only 20 easy payments of $19.95, Susie Koozie is yours to adore. Have your Visa or MasterCard ready and call 1-800-FANSOME. That's 1-800-F-A-N-S-O-M-E. Get Susie Koozie today.
Well, that's going to do it for this week. Look, hey, we kept it under 30 minutes. Don't forget to stop by the website at www.piratesweek.info. Check out the blog and all the links to all the stories we talked about, as well as clicking on your least favorite part of the podcast in the new poll we just put up, and I really hope everybody stops by that. I'd like to thank This Week in Amateur Radio, Glenn Hauser's World of Radio, Cracker for submitting his news story, as well as the Pirate DXer for his segment. Also like to thank the PodSafe Music Network. You can check out all their tracks that you've been listening to in the background from links in the show notes. Until next time, guys, hey, thank you for listening.
From the Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week, piratesweek.tripod.com.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.